I come to you with a burden in my heart of what I feel like a mandate from the Lord to declare into this service today, into your life today. I have transplanted it a little bit because this would be the same heart that I feel over God raising up a warrior's heart in this church. And I do believe that's what God is saying to us. I believe that the message that from the video that we just watched, that there has to come that element of encouraging ourselves. And just as David did in the book of Samuel, when he came back and he found out his whole family and everything that he loved was gone, if he had not encouraged himself and responded underneath the anointing of the whole, underneath the will of God, he wouldn't have never have gained. He would have never have gained back his family and what the devil had come to destroy. So it's of vital importance that when you're hit in the face, that you respond right. You don't react, you respond. You respond in the way that God has put in, the Word of God has laid out for us to respond. And so what he did was he encouraged himself. You've got to become a self-encourager. Now, you may have to break down some barriers to do that, but you need to come to a place where you don't need someone to encourage you, because you're going to be out yonder behind some 10 buck two when the devil attacks you. So you've got to be ready and you got to be able to encourage yourself in the Lord. The next thing David did, he called for the instruments of worship. This is vitally important when we're talking about a war. You got to understand, if you're going to be on that field of battle, if you're going to win on behalf of your family, then you've got to practice these two things. You have to be able to encourage yourself in the Lord. And then you have to call for the instruments of worship. Because what God's going to do, you can't really worship unless you allow the spirit of encouragement to come on your life. If you're discouraged, it's going to be hard for you to worship. But there in your situation, it's of vital importance that you're able to worship. Because when you worship, it's going to bring God on the scene in the time into your family situation. So we must be willing to do that. And that's why there's no worship service is just a regular worship service if you're fighting a battle. If you're fighting a battle, see, because in the midst of worship, God uses that to make it a sound room for his voice. God makes it in the midst of worship. That's why you've got to be able to encourage yourself. And then secondary, you've got to begin to call for the instruments of worship. You've got to worship God. Because what God must have, he must have a sound room where you can begin to hear him. If David had not heard the voice of the Lord that day, he would have never regained what the devil had tried to take away. So it's of vital importance that we hear God. And so no worship service is ever a worship service. There is no bad worship services if you have a need going on in your life. Because that worship service, there's something that miraculously happens as we join together in worship. Now, this morning, we had a wonderful worship service. How many praise God? Wasn't that a wonderful worship, God? Wonderful. And when we begin to worship God, something miraculously happens. God begins to inhabit that worship. He begins to come down in that worship, and in that worship, he begins to speak into people's hearts. And he begins to give vital direction on winning the battles in your life. Because it's important that we hear. No greater, no easier place to hear than when the church begins to worship together. So never let a worship service be just a worship service. It's a hearing room. Somebody say it's a hearing room for me to hear God in my situations for the glory of God. Amen. And so I want to talk to you about that very thing. But what I did, I felt like the Lord, I asked the Lord to help me do it, to take it and place it into the Christmas setting. Because we're in that season, and sometimes it may be easier to understand or easier to hear. Especially, it may be easier for you to see it in the life of Mary than it would possibly to see it in a warrior's heart. Especially if you're not a warrior. But God, everybody say, God's making me a warrior. God's not letting me, come on, somebody say it out loud. God's not letting me be weak. God is raising me up. He's putting the strength of a warrior in my heart. He's given me the necessary tools to fight. And I'm going to war with what the devil has tried to do in my life in Jesus' name. Give the Lord a hand clap, because that's what you're going to do. Amen. All right, in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, it says, saying, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star. That's what I felt like the Holy Spirit said to my heart. For we have seen. It's a vital important for you to see something, because there's a journey ahead of you to get to the place where God is going to be able to miraculously help you. It's important to see that there is a miracle at the end of this journey. God has each one of us engaged, and there is a miracle to behold. Everybody say, there's a miracle to behold at the end of this journey. Now, you're going to be flying in the dark if you can't begin to see. It's important to begin to see the light that God has for you at the end of the tunnel. If you all you see is dark, then God, by his Holy Spirit, has got to do something. By the Holy Spirit, God's got to help you to begin to see. There is a light in this. There is an end to this. And there is a way that God's going to make it all work out well for his glory. Now, that is if you're in the journey. That's for wisdom seekers, though. You understand, this is the journey for those that are wisdom seekers, or will allow God to put the wisdom of the how-to in the midst of them to journey to, so they can behold the miracle that God has for them. So it's a vital important that you begin to see. Now, if you've closed off, if you've got the spirit of discouragement and the spirit of depression wrapped around you, and it becomes a snake that literally wraps around us, choking the very life out of us. You've got to determine, I'm not going to let this snake stay a hold to me. I'm going to shake this thing, and I'm going to shake this spirit of discouragement, and I'm going to begin to see the star that God has in front of me. I'm going to begin to do that. Because the reason the Lord shows it in light is because what it is, light shines the brightest in the midst of the darkness. So it was dark when it was dark for Mary, when God began to shine the light in the situation. So we have to determine, I'm going to see the light. Somebody just needs to get radical with the devil, and he tells you that he's got you boxed up in that corner, but you need to tell him that you're not going to stay boxed up, you're not going to stay discouraged, and you're not going to stay depressed. In the name of Jesus, God's going to bring you out, and you're going to be seeing, even if it's a far way off, you're going to begin to see a light at the end of your tunnel for the glory of God in Jesus' name. So the Lord begins there. He begins. All right, I call it see and run. You can't run the first step. There's three steps that God has begun to reveal to my heart that God wanted me to bring to you today. I'll probably deal with one of them this morning, two of them tonight. But God wants us to know that I must begin to see something if I'm going to run towards something. If I'm going to get to the place that God has prepared for me, then I've got to see it. I can't run toward it unless it begins to be revealed to me. And it's revealed to you in this right here, honey. If you don't have any other way, it's revealed to you right in here. God has a path for you. Somebody say that out loud. God has a path for you. I feel like in my preaching, I'm just banging up against discouragement. But I'm telling you what, the strength of the Holy Ghost in us is stronger than the devil's depression that he's got over you. So I'm going to bang up for you, darling. I'm going to keep banging against that depression. I'm going to keep banging against that discouragement until that shell breaks. And once that shell breaks, the light will begin to shine into your life for the glory of God. In Jesus' name. So it's just real important to say, I say I've seen his star. Say it, I've seen his star. I've seen it. I've seen, I beheld the star. I beheld the light of where God's going to carry me to. And as I follow that light, as I follow it, it will bring me to the place where I will behold a miracle. I will behold a miracle. Amen. All right, now there is a miracle that waits for us in all of our journey. That is, if we're being led by the Holy Spirit. If God, you, whatever overtook you, whatever came up in your life, whatever it was that the devil flattened you out with, whatever it was that the devil hit you in the face with, there is a miracle that awaits you over that situation. Amen. If I work with the Lord. All right, number one, if I'm going to be able to run, number one, I got to start with the disciplines. That's what the Holy Spirit, start with the disciplines. Somebody says, how am I going to run? It's got to start. A good place to start is with the disciplines that God has put in your life. That we would see as ritualistic, that we possibly have laid aside, didn't see the necessity of those things. But God's called, I call this the come of Scripture. It's the come. It's God beckoning us to come. It's when God's dealing with us in our heart. And he said, come, Revelation chapter 11, verse 12. There's all types of this come all through the Scripture. Because when you get into a situation and God knows he has the power to handle that situation, then God calls you to come. There is a come that goes out in the Spirit. Now, in Revelation chapter 11, verse 12, it says, and they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. That's what you hear. You hear God beckoning you to come closer to him. If you're not close enough to God to be able to handle that, then what the Holy Spirit's going to deal with you on, come. Come. Because you can get close enough where God can deal with that. Now, you as a parent, you understand this fully. That's why parents usually like to have their little children, especially in times of danger. They like to take their little children and they hover them. That's what the Bible says that God does in Psalms 91. He hovers us under his feathers. He has a brooding underneath there. That's what God does. That when in the sense, you understand that as a parent, he calls you to come, hover under him. Because if you're a good parent, you know that when your children have been in times of danger, if you could get to them, you would help them. But the problem is, children have a tendency to wander. And because they have the tendency to wander, then parents have a longer path to be able to go rescue. But God's saying to you, if you're in a situation, you're needing my help, I'm not close enough, I'm beckoning you, I've got to come that's going out in the realm of the Spirit. Now, in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, a lot of scriptures we can pull this out in. It said, after these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like the trumpet speaking with me, saying, come, come up hither. It's the cry of God in the garden. It's the cry of God. God had prepared for his children a beautiful, beautiful garden. And in the process of, now God shows up, and Adam's hiding. And what's God say? Adam, where are you? I want you to know that's where God is looking in all of our, it's the come factor. It's the come in all of our situations. God saying, I'm here. I have it already prepared to take care of you. I have everything that you need. I have it prepared. And it's the come factor. And God says, where are you, Adam? Where are you? Where are you? God said, I'm here. I have the provision. I'm here. I have the protection. I'm here, I have the blessing. I'm here, I have the power. I'm here, I have the peace. I'm here, I have the joy. I'm here, I have the victory. I'm here, I already have power to work out that family situation. Already have power to work with those children. God says, come. And the cry of God is, where are you? It's the come factor. Now we see this over and over. It's the Abraham willingness to come up the mountain. The come factor. God speaking to Abraham said, Abraham, come up to me, bring the sacrifice. And sometimes it's hard to come. But that's what God told Abraham. He said, you must be willing to lay your all on the altar. That's why he said, you got to be willing to lay Isaac on the altar, but come up to me on this mountain. This Peter standing at the water's edge. It's Peter standing at the water's edge, and he said, I can't. And God says, come. Peter says, I can't. God says, come. Peter said, I can't. And God says, I would never ask you to do anything that I'm not willing to empower you to do it. So it's a come factor. Come, 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 come close. Come to close to where I can help. Come close. It's the man with the withered hand. I mean, it's the healing part. It's the natural that gives way to the supernatural. It's the natural that I can do that will give way in my life to the miraculous that only God can do. And a lot of times we underestimate the power of that. We underestimate. A lot of times it's the morning. It may be the morning prayer schedule. Or it may be the attending church regularly schedule. Or it may be the discipline of listening. Not sitting in church and letting your life wander, getting off of Facebook and getting off of those things that the devil's put. I think we ought to pray for every phone that people use to distract them from God, don't you? I think we need to pray to break them. Ooh, I lost my amen there. Those things that's hindering you, keeping you, holding you back. That's why it's the discipline factor. Everybody say it's the discipline factor. Or it can be the discipline of responding to the Lord. It can be the discipline of praising God. It can be the discipline of giving. It's the necessities that have to be done to keep the fire of God burning on my altar for the glory of God. It's those areas. And God is saying, come. The first place to begin to search is to look for that. We were taught that all through the Old Testament. It was the daily ritual of going in, trimming the lamp's wick, putting oil in the lamp that kept the light burning. Whatever it is that you dropped and left fall to the side, you cannot make it without it. Whatever it is that the Holy Spirit has drawn you into and led you into and said, this is important in your life, honey, you got to begin to recapture what the devil has tried to jerk away from you. But if you would do what you can do in the natural, then God will come in the miraculous and do what you can't do for the glory of God. So it's the discipline, it's the routine that allows the encounter. It's not the experience. That's why we have problems with it. The routine of our discipline, it's not the experience. So a lot of times we consider the routine as ritualistic. No, it's the step that brings the encounter. That God has put in your life that God calls sacred. Whatever, whenever, however it is, that which God has led you into, drawn you, dealt with you about possibly more prayer, dealt with you about being in the Word, dealt with you about the things that you're allowed your thoughts to think. The things that God has dealt with you about, honey, things will never be right until those things are back in place in your life. Because the natural will give way to the supernatural. There will be a step to the miraculous in your life for the glory of God. Amen. I remember one night I was in a church. It was one of the driest services I think I'd ever been in. And I can remember that night in that dry service. It was on a Sunday night, and I was sitting on about the second or third pew from the front. And I had visited this church, and right after I got there, my mind began to wander. And I began to lose focus. And then I began to wonder, why am I in this dead service? What did I come here for tonight? But the discipline, everybody say the discipline. But the discipline in my life took a hold. And the discipline of my life said, focus, focus. This is the discipline before the Lord. This is a worship. Sometimes worship is easy. Sometimes worship is hard. Sometimes just sitting in service can be worship. You understand what I'm telling you? Not allowing your mind to wander and wander around and get out of the hallways and get out of the bathrooms. My God, we need to get some kidney pills probably. But that's all weakness. I'm not saying people down. You understand what I'm saying, don't you? You understand? I'm not criticizing true need. What I'm saying is, it's when the enemy has brought into your life and laid a trap to take you out with it. That the devil has placed in your life and he's laid a trap. So I was in that service, but the discipline in my life took a hold and I began to focus. I went all the way through the message. I went into the closing prayer. At the closing prayer, the pastor had us all stand together as normal. And he started through the closing prayer. When he started through the closing prayer, I mean, it was just The prayer was about as live as the service was, from my view. But focus. All of a sudden, in the midst, when he said, amen, God came to me. God came to me as a bolt of lightning. He hit me in the top of my head. He knocked me back into the pew that I had just risen up from. And he paralyzed my whole body. I tell you, God can do what he wants to. Somebody said, I don't believe God does that. Well, he can pretty much do what he wants to when he comes on the scene. And I laid there paralyzed in that service. When I was, people getting upset, Lane was upset, said, what's wrong with you? I could not speak. Finally, I came to a place to where I could whisper out a word. And I said, it's okay. It's okay. Because God spoke to me. He said, Jerry, I wanted you to know my power. He said, if I desire, you can never move again. I said, God, that's right. He said, but if I desire, Jerry, I can give my life, your life back to you. And momentarily, God came back and I was released. But I'm going to tell you what, that experience has been probably 35 years ago. But that experience is just as real in me right now as it was 35 years ago. What I'm telling you, the necessity doesn't seem to be the experience, but it's necessary to bring the experience. So I want you to know it's a vital importance. In Psalms 27, I started to just preach this whole chapter today. It's such a powerful chapter, but I'm going to take out one verse out of it. This is our heart's response. When you said, seek my face, what did my heart say? What did my heart say? My heart said, your face, Lord, I will seek. When you said, seek my face, my heart said something. I'm going to tell you what. When God calls you in that come factor, when you're saying, God, I need you in this situation. And God lets us know that it's his will to rescue us. But with our, the problem is our distance from him that we've allowed to develop in our relationship. And then all of a sudden you begin to hear, come, come, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And the Bible says, I will give you rest. We don't have any problem with our heart now. Listen to me. Because the moment God says, come, our heart says, come, I will come. Your heart is responsive to the Lord. But your heart is held captive underneath your soul's disciplines. Listen. It's not in your heart that your discipline comes out of. It's out of your soul. And when we will allow God to replace and replenish the disciplines in our life, so our heart can say, your face you said seek, Lord, my heart said, yes, yes, your face I will seek for the glory of God. Amen? All right, Matthew chapter 13, it says, the kingdom is like a treasure that's hidden in a field. God says, I am hidden. And the Lord allows himself to be that way. It's not because he's hidden to where you can't find him. It's the same way that we used to do at Christmas time when our children were small. Many of you do it in your home. When my children were small, what we would do, we'd put a trail to their big package. And we didn't hide their big package to make it bad. We hid their big package to have the fun in the pursuit. So it was hidden for good. It was really hidden to be revealed. So my children, they'd open a package under, they'd open a little bitty package and they'd say, here, I don't understand. Somebody else got a big package and I got a little bitty package on the tree. They'd open that little bitty package and that little package would say, go to the closet. And they would go to the closet. Then it would say, they'd get to the closet, be another little package and say, go look under the bed. And they would go look under the bed. And they'd get under the bed. There'd be another little package that would say, now go up into the top floor. And it would process. But with each little step that was unfolding, the joy would intensify. And mom, dad got a beautiful kick out of it. I want you to know, God in heaven loves for you to search for the secret places and the mysterious things that God has for you. He's a father, and he loves that to take place in the midst of your life. So he's this hidden treasure. And it says here, this treasure is so wonderful. It's so wonderful, it's worth any price. Somebody shout, it's worth any price. It's worth any sacrifice. It's worth anything for the glory of God. The next verse says, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. And I want you to know that he is the pearl of great price. And whatever it is you have to do to buy it, to gain it, to get to the place that's close enough with the God, it's well worth it for the glory of God. But it's not only for our disciplines. Now, this is what, Lord, it's not only, this is the other part I want to quickly deal with you, this talk to you this morning. It's not only replacing the disciplines in our life that will carry us to that next step, but it's not only the disciplines, but it's the non-discipline of the allowed. It's the non-discipline of the allowed. What that says is there's certain things that many times that we've allowed in our life that is short-circuiting God's power from being able to help us. It's the things that we have allowed that the Holy Spirit, at one point, the Holy Spirit dealt with us and revealed to us that we were wrong in that area. But because we have held on to it, now it's come to a place to where it's almost okay. But I'm here to tell you, it's not okay if the Holy Spirit has told you that it's got to be out of your life. You can grovel about it. You can fuss about it. You can wring your hands about it. You can squall about it. You can fuss about it. But still yet, it's still what's going to have to be done if God is going to be able to have his place in your life for the glory of God. Amen? So it's just vital, vital important. It's the inner voice that is allowed. And more of us, there's not a one of us here that could not change what has happening in our life by beginning to change what we allow and disallow inside of us. What we allow or disallow inside of us is what sets the stage. Now, Stephen did a wonderful job this morning in communion. Didn't you feel the power of God and the grace of God, especially when he began to talk about that blood and the power? The Bible says that there is a river, there is a river of life. Somebody say a river of life. Now see, the devil is the author of death. But Jesus is the author of life in every one of us. There is a life that's supposed to be in each one of us that's constantly looking for anything dead. Constantly looking for anything dead. Whether it's a dead marriage, whether it's a dead relationship, whether it's a dead circumstance, whether it's a dead peace, a dead joy. There's constantly looking. Because what life does, life brings life to death. For life to seize upon something, it has to find something dead. And that's what God's intention is in all of our lives. But what happens is this. Because of things that we're allowing to be in us that God has disallowed, it weakens down the flow. The river becomes contaminated. The river becomes poisoned. It becomes poison to the fact that it no longer brings life inside of us. Now, in Luke chapter 2, verse 19, Mary's had to deal with this. It said, but Mary kept all of these things in her heart and thought about them often. I want to just ask you, what have you got in your heart? I want you to ask me, Pastor, what do you have in your heart? What is in my heart that's draining the very life out instead of putting life in to those dead areas of my life? What in me is contaminated? What in me is reducing the effectiveness? What in me has got a dam built to stop that river of life that God's intention? God's intention is that he send us in life, and there is a river that's flowing out of our innermost being, that's flowing out of the very throne of God. It's a river of life. Now, the Bible says in the book of Ezekiel that that river is to bring life to everything that it touches. It's the will of God that in life, that everywhere that the devil has attacked, that we can bring life. Whatever it is that we can bring life. That there is a river of life inside of us that's able to overpower all of the death that the devil has tried to bring against us. Whether it's death in relationships, death in a family, whether it's death with children and their circumstances of life, whatever it is, death in finances, it is the will of God that the river of life bring life. I say bring life to everything that it touches. But like I said, by allowing things in me that should not be in me, it began to contaminate what the river of life. And it's just like a major company out here that would begin to poison a river. Eventually, that river would come to a place where that river could not sustain life. Many of us, we have those things in us. The devil has came in during the night season. The Bible says during the night, the enemy comes and sows tares in the midst of our life. He sows these tares, and these tares have death associated with them. Now, what the Word of God wants us to do is to be able to repent and to be able to pull those tares up out of our life, because it's the will of God. I don't know what the devil in each of our lives has tried to destroy, but I know this, it is the will of God to bring it back to life for the glory of God. It is the will of God. It is the will of God for the life stream of God to be stronger than the death stream of the enemy that the devil has launched against our life. So it said, Mary kept all these things in her heart. You got to be careful what you're keeping in your heart. You've got to be careful what you're allowing to be kept in your heart. Now, Luke chapter 2, verse 51 says this, then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them, and his mother stored all these things in her heart. What are you storing in your heart? What am I storing in my heart that's possibly contaminating my whole life? What have I got stored up in my heart? Now, the Bible says that Mary has stored these things in her heart. I wonder if she was storing up the ridicule that the community had against her by being a mother that was given birth to seemingly without a father. I wonder if that's what it was. You think she stored that up in her heart? No. We know absolutely that's not what she's talking about. We know from the word and description there in 2 that he's talking about the truths that were spoken to her, the things that were told her about God. Some of us are so full of discouragement. Some of us are so full of thoughts of depression. Some of us are so full of God's not going to work this out. Some of us are so full of fear. Some of us are so full of hard judgments, bitter root judgments, judging things, judging people. A lot of us are so full of unforgiveness that unless we allow the Holy Spirit to do a work and get those things out of us, those things have been placed there as tares by the enemy, and they're placed there inside of us to try to destroy our life or try to destroy our family. We have to come to a place, God, I am willing to get rid of that which I've tried to hold on to. I am ready to get rid of it. I am ready to get rid of it. I am ready to get rid of it. I am ready to lay down judgment things that's hurting my life so I can get a hold of God that will bring life to me for the glory of God. Now, tonight we're going to discuss more how to do that through the power of grace. But I just want to deal with that and stop with that this morning. Now, the Bible says that the little woman with the issue of blood. I love that story, don't you? It said in Mark chapter 5, verse 28, it said, for she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe. What are you thinking to yourself? What are you allowing the enemy to put into your life that's filled with your heart or filled with your thought life? That God cannot move, that has stopped the very life flow of God, that has stopped the flow of God in your life. And unless that is rid, unless the power of God's grace is able to be taken a hold of to get that out, those judgments, those criticisms, those insecurities, those inferiorities, those things that the devil, depressions, discouragement, those things that the devil has tried to flood up, and it comes like a floodgate into our mind on a daily basis. And God is saying, unless you're willing to police your thoughts, you might as well kiss your miracle goodbye. But I believe that there are those that can get a hold of the strength of God, that they will begin to police their thoughts and begin to say, I will not allow anything in my mind other than what God's word tells me to be there. I will not allow the devil to feed me. I will not allow the devil to contaminate me. I will not allow the devil to make me bitter. I will not allow the devil to bring me into unforgiveness. I will not allow the devil to do that in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. And when we're willing to take a hold through the grace of God, amen, amen. What relations, I just felt this from the Lord to ask you, what relationships have been destroyed? What unions have been poisoned? What was God is being torn down by what is allowed on the inside? It's what we're lying on the inside that we refuse to police. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 says it this way. It says, therefore, purge out the old leaven. It says, there's things that God must get out of my life, man. There's things that I've got to believe the Lord for. There's things that God has asked me to do if I'm going to really believe him to do what only he can do. And some of these things, and Jerry, I don't know how. I should remind you again, God would never ask us or ask me to do anything that he's not willing to empower me to do it. Amen. Now let me say, this message, the way the Lord began to speak to this, he began to show me. And God began to show me. And he began to show me the things that I must be willing to be able to lay before him. I must be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to police my thoughts if I was going to be able to receive what he put me on earth to receive. So what I'm talking about, I'm sitting on row one this morning because this is the way God dealt with me over this. And the more God dealt with me about the way that I had to change my way of thinking, the more the Holy Spirit began to say, Jerry, there are probably some others that's facing that very same dilemma. And so he told me to stand before you today and say, unless we're willing for two things. Number one, replace the disciplines in our life that God has set up as safeguards to keep the fire burning on the altar. To set up the disciplines that keeps the lamps trimmed, that keeps the oil in, that keeps fire, that keeps the wood on under the sacrifice. And then the second thing is, he said, Jerry, tell my children that unless they're willing to stop allowing certain things in and certain things through, that they was not going to be able to believe me to do what I want to do with their life. So when I sensed this, there was a real sense of destiny with it. It's a sense much more than just a healing, although a healing is enough. And it was much more, it had tied to it the divine purpose of God's placement here on earth. And I don't think it's anything that the Holy Spirit was asking me to point out other than to just give that warning. Because I believe with all of my heart the Holy Spirit has done his work in all of our lives. And the Holy Spirit has allowed us. What does the Lord want to happen inside of us? That's what it says in John chapter 3. It says, he who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. The Lord spoke to my heart. This is one of the first things he told me in it. He said, Jerry, I want to restore the voice of the bridegroom into people's lives. I want to restore the voice of the bridegroom. That innocent voice, the sweet voice, it's the voice of the bride waiting at the altar, just waiting to be come to by her bridegroom. It's the voice of that bridegroom whispering to that bride and saying, darling, I'll love you forever. I'll always be with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you, honey. I will be there. God said that was his desire. But unless the contaminants could out, there was no way that the pure could flow. But God wants to restore the voice of the bridegroom. And then the next part of that verse says this, therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. There's a great joy of the voice of the bridegroom speaking into the midst of our life. My last verse, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. God says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in our hearts. God said, I put eternity in your heart. And the enemy has come and sowed tares. And God, by his Spirit, wants to begin a work today in all of our hearts for the removing of those tares. One scripture says the Lord will send his angels and they will gather the tares. I don't know what God's going to have to do, but I tell you what, I want to see restored into my life the voice of the bridegroom. I want to see restored that precious bride. And the Song of Solomon says, I hear my bridegroom coming. I hear his voice behind the door. God knows how to satisfy each of our lives. Amen? God knows how to do this. I don't have any other thing other than to give these two things that God gave me. Number one, restore the disciplines that we let slip out of our life that would fuel the fire on the altar of God. And the second thing is, police and refuse to allow the enemy to contaminate the pure. Refuse to allow the enemy to place the unholy with the holy. Refuse that. I'm going to quickly ask you, if anyone understands some of what I'm saying, you say, that's me, I believe that, I want you to quickly stand right in this place right here. If you understand some of what I'm saying, if that's imparting to your heart, and we want to begin a work of God in our hearts right now. We want to allow the Holy Spirit. We want to allow the Holy Spirit to regain our innocence. And there's a principle that's in the Old Testament. And the principle is brought forth and it's talked about in the New Testament. I believe it's the book of James. And the principle is this. That if a maiden is caught in a field and one comes on her to abuse her, to sexually abuse her, if that maid will cry out, don't let my innocence be taken, God says she will go down, that she will go down not blamed. But if she allows herself to be taken in that field without crying out, it's the principle of the enemy coming on our lives. It's the principle of the unholy trying to contaminate the holy. It's the principle of the uninnocent that's trying to come on the innocence that God has created in our hearts. God says He will restore if we will allow Him to do that. Lord, I cry out. I don't want to be the maid, Lord, in the field that doesn't cry out. Lord, I cry out. I cry out against the unholy. I cry out against the profane. I cry out against that, Lord, that was trying to come in to contaminate the pure. Lord, I cry out in the field. I cry out in the field, God. Come, Lord. Come. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask you to come on my life and come on the lives of these others that we gather here this morning, God, to regain the innocence inwardly, God, to where the enemy has tried to rape us or tried to take us away from that innocent, pure river that God's intention was to bring life into every part of our life. That river that was intended to be able to flow and to bring great healing and great help and great provision and great peace and great joy into every part of our life, God. Lord, in Jesus' name, we repent before you, God. Our heart has been cut, God. Our hearts have been cut. I want you, if you're here, and if you can put one word, if you can put one word to that that the enemy has tried to place in you, gather it together and put it into one word. And let all that the devil has tried to do be pulled into that one word. I want you to whisper that word to the Lord. I want you to say, Lord, will you remove this from my life? Will you, Holy Spirit, empower me, strengthen me to arise from my raping field and arise with the cry out of my heart. For the work of God that's taking place in our life. And I want to thank you, Lord, that here is, that you're helping us, Lord, to place a guard over our heart and to no longer allow the enemy to rape us, to no longer allow the enemy to infiltrate into our minds that which is so wrong with you, Lord. Help us to be restored in Jesus' name. Now let's just receive. I want you to say, Father, in Jesus' name, I repent of my sin. I ask my forgiveness for any allegiance with the enemy, for allowing the enemy to contaminate me, to bring into me that which is not of you. Any ill judgment, any demonic depression, discouragement, any pride of any thoughts of giving up or stopping my continual progression toward the Lord, whatever the enemy has tried to contaminate me with, God, in the name of Jesus, I repent of it right now. And I receive by faith the forgiveness of the Lord and the cleansing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, that you're standing on the right hand of the Father right now, interceding on my behalf, Lord. causing your purity, Lord, to once again flow over my life, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.